Okay, so Judith already introduced me, so I'm going to just start right into the presentation. So I'm going to talk about disability today in older adults. So I'm going to give just a really brief overview. Disability is defined as having substantial limitations in life activities, and this can be daily activities, mobility, or instrumental activities of daily living, which are things like doing laundry and shopping. And about 20 to 30% of the adults over age 70 have some sort of disability. And there are very large racial and ethnic disparities in disability, with Black and Hispanic individuals having higher rates of disability, more severe disability, higher incidence of disability. And although there have been some declines in disability over the past couple of decades, these declines have not been equal among all groups of individuals, and the racial and ethnic gap in disability is certainly not decreasing, and it's potentially even increasing. And disability is actually expected to increase by about 30% over the next two decades, so this is going to be a very significant public health problem. And disability results in dependence and institutionalization. Disability also, of course, results in enormous rates of healthcare utilization and healthcare costs. And disability is an important predictor of population health, much like infant mortality. It's strongly linked to mortality rates. Okay, so I'm not going to really go through this framework too much, but patterns of disability, as well as racial and ethnic disparities in disability, haven't been fully explained or understood based on kind of more traditional predictors of disability, some of the kind of more physical predictors, things like aging and activity limitations. And so in more recent kind of models of disability, such as this one, we focus a little bit more on the environment, how the environment influences disability. The environment is particularly salient for older adults who are more constrained to their more immediate environment. They are potentially unable to drive and more socially isolated. And so theories of aging and the environment and aging kind of predict that older individuals, as individuals age, the environment's going to be more important for them, as well as individuals become more kind of physically limited. And so kind of based on these theories, we might expect that people's environments would moderate associations between their kind of physical health and disability. So I'm going to just kind of very briefly go through what people have looked at in terms of the environment and disability. Most of the focus has been on the built environment, and you can see some of these kind of factors that are in fact associated, as you might expect, with disability, especially things like mobility. There's been a much less of a focus on the social environment, as well as the economic environment. And the research that has been done in this area, some of it has been kind of at an ecological level, so doesn't tell as much about kind of differences at the individual level. And in general, I would say that the environment, looking at kind of neighborhood level factors, hasn't really explained much of kind of the variations in disability. Okay, so so as I said, most of the focus has been on the built environment, and then the research that has looked at the environment and disability, which is actually much less than you might imagine, given the kind of strong connections that appear to be there, hasn't really integrated multiple levels or layers of the environment. And so so we wanted to kind of really think about different levels, like the kind of micro environment, the meso, and then the macro environment, and also consider, nobody's really looked at how these different levels of the environment might work together and interact to influence disability. And finally, researchers haven't yet looked at the ways in which people's environment might influence racial and ethnic disparities in disability. So this was one of our main focuses. So our objectives were to examine the racial and ethnic patterning and mobility, and to examine associations of these kind of levels of the environment and disability, and also to determine whether associations between the environment and disability explained any of the racial and ethnic disparities. And finally, we want to determine whether environmental factors modified the association between physical impairment or physical limitations and disability. Okay, so to accomplish these objectives, we use data from the National Health and Aging Trends Study, or NHATS, and we use data from the second round, which occurred in 2012. Right now, we're actually collecting, I think, the fourth round of data. They enrolled about 8,000 individuals who were Medicare recipients and oversampled older adults and Black adults. And the sample was about 6,100 at the second round of the study, but then we limited our analyses to individuals who were living in the community as opposed to nursing homes and who had actual data for our outcome. And so this resulted in about 5,600 individuals. There are several advantages to the NHATS data. One of the biggest is their measures of disability. They measure disability, it kind of extended beyond just the simple, you know, do you have these, are you able to do these different activities or do you have difficulty with them, and included kind of more realistic measures and included whether people are able to do these different activities using assistive devices, which they might use on a daily basis, or receiving help from other people. And so this kind of results in a really kind of a complicated and intricate measure of disability. NHATS also included measures of both the kind of micro and meso environment or neighborhood, and I'll go through these. And it's a nationally representative sample. Okay, so I looked at two different measures of disability, but I'm going to focus on mobility today just for time's sake. And mobility was asked about kind of difficulty going outside, so outdoor mobility. And there were kind of five, from the data and the questions that they asked in the survey, I created kind of five different categories of mobility difficulty, including people who are fully able, which is the reference category, successful accommodators, which are people who don't report any difficulty but do use some type of assistive device to go outside, people who have reduced mobility over the past compared to like a year ago, but still don't report any difficulty, people who do report difficulty going outside, and finally people who need assistance or don't go outside because of health reasons. And so these are people who are dependent. And then the physical impairment was measured as a sum of kind of having difficulty or impairment for over six tasks, such as walking a certain distance or lifting a certain amount of weight or carrying items and bending over, things like that. Okay, so the neighborhood was measured. First, the micro neighborhood was assessed based on a few items that were measured by the interviewer when they were entering participants' homes. So they looked at the sidewalk conditions, whether people had entry ramps, whether they had stairs or broken steps at their entry. And then the meso neighborhood environment consists of two different scales. One of them, physical disorder, was also rated by the interviewer when they were kind of in the neighborhood going to individuals' homes. And this included assessments of whether there were graffiti, vacant houses, litter, and foreclosure signs in the area. And then finally, social cohesion was assessed by the participants themselves. And they answered questions about whether they knew their neighbors, trusted their neighbors, and were willing to help their neighbors. And then the macro environment was assessed using 2010 U.S. Census data and 2008 to 2012 American Community Survey estimates. And so these are all measured at the census tract level. And I have kind of three different general categories of these macro environment measures: economic, physical, and social. And then I have a measure of kind of percent of disability, percent of disabled residents in the census tract. And this is kind of a proxy for access or service in the census tract. And I'm not going to go into detail into these measures, but you can kind of see what I included here. Okay, so to examine difficulty with mobility, I used multinomial logistic regression models and modeled it separately for men and women, because we know that there are kind of differences in these associations between the environment and mobility based on gender. And so these models kind of then are modeling those five different categories of mobility difficulty you saw. The models account for both survey sampling as well as I used kind of clustering at the census tract level. I'm not presenting multi-level model results here because they were very similar to these more simple models. And so these models are just kind of correcting for the standard errors for the clustering at the census tract level. And then I adjusted the models for some basic demographic factors as well as a variety of chronic conditions. Okay, so just a very general overview of the sample. You can see the age distribution here. Most of the individuals were between 75 and 84 years old. 57% were female, 68% white, 22% black, and 6% Hispanic. Okay, so these are results from these are kind of predicted probabilities of mobility difficulty in the different categories from a kind of a basic demographic adjusted model that included the chronic illness. And so you can see from the graph, the first box shows the fully able category. So black adults had lower probabilities of being fully able, and then they had higher probabilities of successful accommodation as well as being fully dependent on others. And then black and Hispanics had a higher probability of reductions in mobility over the past year compared to being fully able. And so you can see the racial and ethnic disparities in mobility. This is for men. And then it's very similar for women with Hispanic women also had some kind of lower probabilities of being fully able and higher probabilities of having some sort of mobility difficulty compared to white women. Okay, and so that was to address the first objective, looking at the racial and ethnic patterning. I also wanted to determine whether kind of these disparities are accounted for by physical impairment, which we know is a very strong predictor of disability. And while they did reduce some of the disparities, they didn't completely reduce them. And particularly, they didn't reduce them for women. And so then the next objective was to see whether neighborhood effects or the kind of the neighborhood environment was associated with disability or in mobility, also whether it explains some of these existing racial and ethnic disparities. And so the microenvironment was directly associated with mobility difficulty for men. For instance, having stairs at the entry actually, having an entry ramp actually increased the relative risk of having some type of difficulty, either having high difficulty or reductions in mobility, versus being fully able. And this is a bit counterintuitive, but I think it just suggests that men with more severe disability are moving into neighborhoods that are more accommodating, or moving into, you know, houses that have entry ramps. So this is certainly not a causal association. There were no direct associations between the meso environment and disability, but we also found that living in a census tract with more disabled residents was associated with an increased risk of having more mobility difficulty. And again, this also suggests that people are probably self-selecting into these census tracts with people with more disability. Probably these census tracts maybe have more services or other kind of accommodations for people. And then finally, we found that the effect of having continuous sidewalks outside of your home on disability depended on the socioeconomic, kind of greater, kind of macro socioeconomic environment. And so you can see here that for men who lived in houses where there were not continuous sidewalks, those who also lived in the highest disadvantaged neighborhoods, that far kind of middle gray bar is for high levels, one standard deviation above the mean of disadvantage, those men are the ones that had the greatest probability of having reduced mobility compared to a year ago. So it's kind of compounding effect. Okay, so for women, also, we found some direct associations between this microenvironment and mobility. And again, having an entry ramp was associated, like with men, with an increased risk of mobility difficulty for women. Again, just suggesting this kind of self-selection in certain neighborhoods. There was no direct association between the meso and the macro environment and disability for women. But again, like men, we found this interaction where with continuous sidewalks and disadvantage. And so, and this is a bit different than what you saw for men. So for women that actually had continuous sidewalks, those that lived in areas with high levels of disadvantage had the highest probability of having high levels of mobility difficulty. So you can see there's these gender differences here. And I just forget to mention before that actually accounting for these interactions between the micro and the macro environment for men fully accounted for all of the racial and ethnic disparities. For women, they did not. Okay, and so last objective was to look at kind of the moderation between the environment and physical impairment. And so for men, we did find some moderation between the microenvironment and physical impairment. You can see here that for men with high levels of physical impairment who also had stairs at their entry, they had a much higher probability of being fully dependent compared to fully able. And then there was also an association between the meso environment and physical impairment for men. And so at kind of lower levels of physical impairment, where you would expect not to have as much disability, we see this this kind of interactive effect where having low impairment but also living in a neighborhood with high levels of physical disorder kind of increase the probability of needing a kind of successful accommodation versus being fully able. So that's that kind of that far that you can see that kind of graded association of the low levels of physical impairment. And so for women, there were no interactions between the micro and meso environment and physical impairment. But we did find an interaction between physical impairment and the percentage of disabled residents in a census tract. And the association between physical impairment and having reduced mobility over the past year was actually kind of attenuated or weakened by living in a neighborhood with more disabled residents. And so living in a neighborhood with higher disability or higher proportion of disabled residents was actually kind of protective. Okay, so kind of getting to what this all means. Found kind of a limited direct effect of the environment on disability. So it seems that, however, it seems that maybe the influence of the immediate neighborhood, the kind of micro and meso neighborhood, might actually depend on these kind of larger economic factors. And so, you know, this suggests that considering kind of these different layers of the environment and how they work together is important. And that kind of in order to then apply this to trying to reduce disability and reduce racial and ethnic disparities in disability, we have to think about this because, for instance, focusing on fixing sidewalks, while it seems like a good way to kind of improve people's mobility, it might not benefit disabled adults who live in these highly disadvantaged areas. So we also found that the relationship between physical health or capacity and mobility might depend on aspects of the environment from these interactions. And so this suggests that it's important to consider older adults and the environment to kind of determine who is most vulnerable so that we can target interventions to the right people. For example, although generally men with low levels of physical impairment, you wouldn't expect to have mobility problems, we found that those who lived in areas with high levels of physical disorder actually did have this increased probability of having reductions in mobility. And so, so it's important to kind of look at both of these factors simultaneously. We found that the environment doesn't uniformly influence disability, and so it's important to kind of think both about also differences by gender and differences by race and ethnicity. And most research doesn't include these kind of complex relationships and interactions because this poses challenges for researchers analytically. We're looking at multiple comparisons and potentially looking at kind of interactions makes it hard to kind of, you have to have a big sample and a lot of power. And so I think that, you know, despite these challenges, some of these initial results suggest that it is important to continue to look at these kind of differences by race and by gender, because it seems that ignoring them might not allow us to kind of fully understand how the environment is influencing disability. And finally, just some kind of larger public health implications. Obviously, we know that it's important for older adults to engage in their environment, to leave their homes if they're going to be healthy and reduce disability, but it's not possible for them to leave their homes if they have an unsafe environment. And so I think that, you know, but we can't really just, if we address one level of the environment, it might not be adequate to improve disability outcomes if it's dependent on a larger level. So we have to think about kind of these complexities. And just briefly, this was a cross-sectional study, and as I mentioned, people might self-select into certain types of neighborhoods. What we didn't do is assess the built environment as much, and it's possible that we're missing some kind of important interactions here between the built environment and the larger kind of macro environment. And the last kind of limitation of this is that while we found these important interactions between different levels of the environment, I wasn't able to examine these interactions as well as interactions with physical limitations, because that would be a three-way interaction and very complicated. But I do think that there might be some important interactions going on there, and so that's certainly a big limitation. And finally, the strengths, I mentioned the measures of mobility and HATS were the strength of the study. We were able to look at multiple neighborhood contexts, using nationally representative data, and we examined kind of the neighborhood and how it affected not only disability and mobility, but also the racial and ethnic patterning. And I just want to say thank you to my co-author, Dr. Philippa Clark, and also some of the NHATS leadership and the participants. And thank you all for listening to my talk.